There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Co-hosting. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Co-hosting with me today is Mr. Nasser Hamid. This is podcast number 365, July 29th, 2009. Nass?
This edition of F1 Weekly is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. From PK's Pride to Bode's Lost Drive, click on Yahoo Ads. You know you want to.
Thank you, Nasser, and of course, we thank Yahoo Ads. On today's program, Felipe Massa to be released in 10 days. Will Schumacher drive in 2009? Is the Renault suspension fair? And of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid and special interview with Jackie Eckelhart. Nass, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
Very good, sir. Thank you. And we have a surprise here. Mr. David Tapia, executive producer, is in the house today.
Yep, he's climbed down from the palatial offices upstairs to decide to help us out to improve quality here at the F1 Weekly dungeon.
And Mr. Fobb is on vacation in Fiji Islands.
Exactly. He's lying on the beach as we speak with a couple of maidens.
Oh, must be nice.
Exactly. So there you have it. NAS, Hungarian Grand Prix. Did you enjoy that? And of course, always some turmoil. And of course, Felipe Massa being injured. Hopefully he's going to be fine, but wow.
Well, that is the best part that, you know, I heard a report today that he'll be out of the hospital in 10 days, which is very good. And we would like to see him back in racing as soon as, you know, it's convenient and comfortable for him.
Of course, but there's going to be some recovery. Sure. And I'm sure it's going to take some time. I don't think he'll be back in 2000, but you never know. I mean, depending on individuals, people heal quite quickly.
I would like to see him at least do the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Absolutely, absolutely. But speaking of Massa's replacement, I mean, it's all over the place.
I heard even Desiree is auditioning for that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's completely out of control. Schumacher, Villeneuve. I mean, I think you even mentioned Jean Zalesi might be back.
Yeah, he's got new motivation.
Yes.
I mean, this is getting out of control, and people are connecting dots based on Bode and Massa having the same manager, which is, of course, right. Nicola Todd. And Schumi's manager, Mr. Willy Weber, is saying 9-9 to his driver returning through the cockpit. And silence from Schumacher is being taken as that he wants to drive. And but if Mr. Weber, him and Flavio have one thing in common, they love a few million bucks. So I'm sure if Ferrari could put $1 million in Mr. Weber's pocket, then his mantra will change to Yavol faster than a Munich minute.
I think there's a 50-50 chance that Schumacher would drive. I think it would, I mean, for Formula One, it would be exciting. For the German fans, it would be tremendous. And Bernie Ecclestone would be happy.
Absolutely. It'll be great for motor racing. And it will either wake up Kimi Raikkonen or, but I think, you know, he has nothing to prove. I think he would be interested in jumping into a car if it was like a Red Bull today, and they're very competitive.
Well, they have made some strides forward. And, you know, to get at least one comeback from Schumacher before, you know, he gets to be 42, 44, 45 would be pretty fun.
Yeah, it would be, especially if he can do the Monza race. That Tifosi's will go crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. It would be completely out of control. And he is very good friends with Felipe Massa.
Yeah, that's his, you know, original doll.
Exactly.
Felipe baby was originally Schumacher's baby before Rob Smedley came on the scene.
Exactly.
But, you know, the most interesting part was, given the location of next race and suspension of Renault team, which I'm surprised you haven't mentioned, maybe you're in a shell
I'm
shock.
I'm building up to it, Nasser.
I know. Nando coming to Maranello, this rumor is interesting. And again, the only thing Briatore loves more than Signora Elisabetta is a whole lot of mulatta. So if you give him the right money, I think he will release Alonso for a race and do... But frankly, I don't think the suspension will stand. It's too much at stake.
Thank you very much, Nasser. Who is coming up with these concepts?
Oh, I have the answer to that. I think it's the same stewards who were at Spa last year.
Those guys did get fired?
No, I think they've been promoted by Max.
Oh, are they lifetime stewards? I mean, this kind of decision making is ridiculous, and it puts it sheds bad light on the FIA once again.
Yeah, it looks so stupid that you're going to take. I mean, this I know you will not like this, Clark, but taking Alonso out of a race in Grand Prix in Spain is like taking Dale E. Junior and number 88 out of Daytona 500.
I absolutely concur. Why punish all the fans, the people in Spain? Not only that, but the sponsors. It was a mistake in the pits. They suffered tremendously.
10 grid penalty. You know, in this day and age, even if you give a 5 grid penalty, you're not going to win a race.
Exactly.
Under normal circumstances. I mean, this is so stupid that it's not even worth commenting on it, the decision that is.
Well, I certainly hope it's overturned. On the other hand, even if it is overturned, I think there's a small chance that Fernando could race for Ferrari in Valencia, because
he's not going to go back and forth. What may happen if he has already signed for Ferrari for 2010, then they may seek his early release.
Exactly, and then Grosjean could step in and they could keep Piquet, and that's another story right there.
Oh, yeah. A war of words has now broken out between Piquet Jr. and Papito Flavio.
Let me say one thing. If you're driving for Flavio, don't start criticizing him, and especially don't say he doesn't know bleep about Formula One.
No, he may not know anything, but he sure knows how to make good decisions, I'll tell you that.
Yes, I mean, he's won a number of world championships
with
a couple of great drivers.
I read somewhere once that Flavio is successful in Formula One because he listened to Bernie Ecclestone. And people who listened to Flavio, they went places, Nando and Schumacher and... what's his name? Zanardi is one of those who did not take his advice.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
No, Nelsino is bitter. He doesn't have his father's talent, and you're just going to have to accept it.
Yeah, he's Victoria bitter. He does not even, his performance is going down south all the way to land down under.
So, exactly. You know,
that's where the problem is.
I know. And he's lost face.
It's a good thing he's not an American citizen.
Why is that?
Well, because then people say, oh, look, another American is being treated like that.
That's true.
And that will be then a train of failures, you know. So this is, you know, how Formula One is.
I agree. I think, you know what, he did the best he could.
Yes.
And be happy with that. He has a very good grasp of the English language. He speaks French very well. I think he could become a great Formula One commentator in Brazil.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah. He's got a fine career ahead of him.
Oh,
it's just not going to be in Formula One.
Oh, no. It's dishes are done. And he can come to IndyCar racing.
That's very true. And join the Schecters and what have you.
Yeah.
Something to do. Keep up the good work, Nasser. Also, this shocking BMW announcement that's going to be coming. I mean, for me, it's a shock. They bought Sauber out at the beginning of 2006, if I remember correctly. And, I mean, it's just been 3 years. I know they've been supplying motors for BMW. I mean, for Williams for a number of years. And won some Grand Prix with Schumacher and Montoya. But still, I mean, to give up so early. I didn't think their financial situation was as bad as it seems to be.
Well, I'm almost positive financial situation for most companies, especially car companies, is far worse than what the numbers are showing. I'll give you an example. Most companies have suffered sales about 30% reduction. And you do a simple math. Honda, Toyota sell over 1 million cars here okay, just in the U.S., 30% is 300,000 cars. 300,000 cars is, I believe, in today's market, far more than what Volkswagen sells here all year long. And that's a pretty big name, plate Volkswagen, Audi. So that's a lot of business to be lost. And that's just in the U.S. And you, if you take the South American market and European market, South Asian market, whatever, they are taking huge, huge losses. And Formula One, you know, the way it has gone, you know, it was just a free-for-all. Just throw as much money. Whoever can throw the most money, you know. I mean, you look at the Toyota situation. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine a couple of days ago. And they must have spent close to over $2 billion. And to show what? You know, this program started out very sensibly with Salo and Ellen McNish. And then they owe $25 million to Ralf Schumacher. And it just, I mean, that's, how can you justify that kind of expenditure?
That's true. And the way BMW has fallen so far behind, they just got this car completely wrong. And it's actually, it somewhat tarnishes their motorsports history when you're doing this badly.
Well, these things happen. It's not the first time something. I mean, Ferrari has gone for years and years without winning a championship. But also there are very strong rumors that Toyota may bail out too.
Well, to be honest with you, I expected this kind of announcement from Toyota first before BMW. That's why I'm so stunned. I somewhat expect Toyota to pull out at the end of the year.
Well, you know, there's an old saying in finance that if you see a Swiss banker jump out of a window, you follow him. And that's what all these companies did. You know, Honda came, then Toyota came, and then BMW came, Renault came. Everybody is there, you know. Jaguar came and went. But it's a reality check. Advantage now goes to Max Mosley.
You believe that?
Well, because of, you know, this one less
game.
No,
Max Mosley made some good points that this was going to happen.
Oh.
But I think trying to impose caps and limits on spending is not the answer.
You know, well, no, I agree with you, but also there has to be some, you know, somebody, you just can't have a billion-dollar budget and not perform at all.
Exactly. I mean, the problem.
How many times I've said that, you know, anytime somebody talks about Alain Prost winning world championship with McLaren and Lauda winning 84 world championship, what do they say? Tag Porsche engine. When you talk about Honda McLaren domination with Prost and Senna, Honda Turbo, Honda whatever. So if these big companies, if they had just stayed as engine supplier, if you win, the engine supplier get most of the glory anyway.
I agree.
Yeah,
they do.
So it's a big reality check. I would hate to lose you know, manufacturers, but it's a sign of the times we are in.
Yeah, and the other question is, will BMW sell or just completely dismantle the team?
Well, they bought it from Sauber. Probably they will sell it. And
so we get the David Richards back in line, possibly.
David Richards, or I don't know. Bill Gates might buy, you know. I don't know.
Somebody
will buy. I mean, this is a very fine facility, you know.
I agree.
Based in a very nice place, Hinwil, Switzerland. So, actually, you know, Sauber used to be a Mercedes outfit.
That's yeah, when, back in the day, I remember.
Yeah, when they had the, it started out with a sports car program when it was concept by Mercedes, and when they start winning, then it was Mercedes Sauber. So that's the way things go, sir.
Exactly. So you must have loved the outcome of the Hungarian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton on the top. An outstanding drive.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I always love a Formula One race, regardless of the result. But this win, this will make you feel better. This win was like Alonso's win in Japan. It came from nowhere. Even the winning driver said we were not expecting to win. So winning a race where you don't have business winning, it's always magical. We have been requested not to say the word machismo, so I'll say magical.
That's
or magique, as you will say.
Well, I thought it was great also, not for just Lewis, but good for McLaren Mercedes. They needed some lifting in that team. And, of course, the first team to win with the kinetic recovery system.
Yes, and the kinetic
energy
was already going on the first lap. Did you see Nicole Scherzinger jumping up and down?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad he's got the cheerleaders going there.
Oh, yeah.
Very helpful.
Oh, absolutely.
But even Norbert Hogg came out and said this is positive for the KERS as its reputation has been tarnished. Renault's dropped it. BMW, who was so pro Kurz at the beginning of the season, has completely dropped it. Mario Tyson said that FOTA has voted against Kurz for 2010.
Yeah, but let's face it, that was not a Kurz win. It was they won because of the driver.
Man, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah. Some of the passing was well. Lewis uses Kurz very, very well at the start of the race, managing the race. I thought it was very helpful, and I think they admitted to that too.
Yeah, and where was Heikki Kovalainen?
Heikki Kovalainen? Who was that guy?
He's a teammate to Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, number two?
Yeah.
He's not even a number two. He's like a number four.
Yeah, him and Nelsinho Piquet, they can beat Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, I know
Every
they can.
Time they close their eyes, boom, they are ahead of Lewis Hamilton.
And you know what? I feel sorry for Heikki Kovalainen. His career looked so good, especially when he was at Renault, and then he couldn't get up to speed against Fernando, and sure enough, going to McLaren, everybody had high hopes, and he's been a complete bomb. I guarantee he won't be at McLaren next year.
Oh, I'll be shocked if he is. Well, you know, they were talking that Nico Rosberg is going to BMW, with BMW pulling the plug. Chances are he will be at McLaren. You know, McLaren should really take Robert Kubica, because he's good friends with Lewis, and he might be able to rattle his cage too.
It's possible. Nico, Kubica, I feel sorry for, well, Nick Heidfeld, is, you know, if BMW pulls out, I guess that really cuts the silly season for them.
Oh, yeah.
No big decisions there.
No.
And I honestly feel that Toyota is going to be out. So some of these drivers will get drives with some of these new small teams. And
but even the small teams, you know, especially the new ones coming, they would be looking for paid
Campos,
drivers.
USF1.
Yeah.
They're all looking for one experienced driver and then a new young and upcoming driver.
Yeah, looks like it's in the news that Alex Wurz is going to be the driver for Team USF and one of the drivers.
Yes, Peter Windsor, I think, hinted towards that, even though he had some discussions with Jacques Villeneuve. I think Wurz is a better candidate. Has been testing for years.
He's good with very technical good reputation input. As a test driver.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why he's had such longevity in Formula One.
And he's from Austria, a lot of mountains, and I believe they have mountains in North Carolina.
They do? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, Nasser.
So he'll hang in there. He'll blend in.
I don't think he'll be in North Carolina too much. I think they'll be testing at Paul Ricard. And what's the place in Spain?
Yeah, somewhere in Aragon.
They're making some kind of deal with a Spanish track.
Yeah.
And I hope that works out because, of course, the weather in Spain is always wunderbar.
No, but I would prefer Paul Ricard.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Ricard is now open to public, and they have put some stands also.
Oh, yeah? Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's going to be the next track I'm going to go to. Next
I would love
to
go there and walk on the along the Mistral Strait.
Yeah. At least I got to go to Dijon Prenois. That was exciting. I loved it. You just smell the fuel.
Is that a rubbing? Fuel. Elf or Fina?
Of course, it was Elf. A little Total on the side, even though now it's one big conglomerate.
Yeah.
So there you have it, Nasser. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial because there's a lot of news, including Montoya, Earnhardt, and everybody else. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and Mr. Nasser Hamid himself.
Thank you.
Greetings and racing regards. Top of the list, we have Hungarian Grand Prix and the many support races from the Hungaroring. It was a busy day in Hungary. They had Formula One, GP2, Formula Master.
Yeah, it's exciting. A lot of support stuff going on.
BMW.
I heard it's one of the best races to go to if you're in Europe and you just want to get a good mélange or goulash.
Exactly.
Of racing.
Yeah, plus apparently you can view most of the track. And,
exactly. It's a great track to go to. A lot, you know, even the inexpensive grandstand seats, still pretty nice. Sometimes it can get very warm.
And I have never been there, but I've been told that the profession of the ladies of the night is legal in Hungary.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that, Nasser.
But now you have an incentive to go there.
Well, I see now that's called entrapment.
Ah! Okay, we shall start with some history of the Hungarian Grand Prix. The very first Grand Prix in the land of Magyars and Matra Mountains took place way back in 1936. And man, I checked out a picture, and this picture is nothing but chills. This race was won by a man from Mantova, Tazio Nuvolari, driving an Alfa Romeo, entered by, now we're talking 1936. This car was entered by a Scuderia Ferrari. And I did a Yahoo search and came up with a picture of this car, black and white, and it's beautiful. Very nice. Second was another legend from golden era of motor racing, Bernd Rosemeyer. His Auto Union teammate, Hans Stuck, was fifth, and Hans Stuck's son, Hans Stuck Jr., actually he was known as Hans Joachim Stuck Jr., raced in Formula One with Bernie Ecclestone's team, Brabham, in the 1970s, and is very well known to racing fans all over the world as a sports car racer also. And I'm sure you know he raced here in sports cars, Trans Am, IMSA, GTO. The 1936 race took place on the street of Nepli Jet Park in Budapest. Fast forward half a century, and we come to the inaugural Formula One World Championship Grand Prix at Hungaroring, won by Nelson Piquet, the senior, not the junior, over fellow Brazilian Ayrton Senna. In the 24 events held so far, only four race winners have not been world champions. Kovalainen from last year, Jenson Button, the 2006 winner, Barrichello, the 2002 winner, and Thierry Boutsen, the Belgian driver, held off Senna for many laps to win in 1990. Four drivers scored their maiden wins in Hungary: Kovalainen last year, Button in 2006, Alonso in 2003, then beating the record of Bruce McLaren as the youngest Grand Prix winner, and that record stood till Monza in the rain when Sebastian Vettel took the record. What say you, Clark Rogers?
That 2003 race was pretty exciting.
Yeah, he lapped Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, God, it was exciting. And those were the days, Nasser.
Absolutely.
Sitting on the edge of your seat, just drenched in perspiration.
And just watch those Michelin expand magically.
Oh,
that was my favorite.
That wasn't magic. It's part of
technology. Yeah. And Damon Hill was the fourth person who took his maiden win there in 1993. Among the teams, McLaren is the most successful in Hungary, winning nine times, including three in a row with Sunday's win by Hamilton. Williams have seven wins here and Ferrari five. This really surprised me. A very surprised driver who did not get to do the Hungarian dance was Alain Prost. And with that, we dance away to support races for the Hungarian Grand Prix. Did you watch any of the support racing action?
I did not. I had stuff to do, Nasser, but since I knew you were zoned in and recording all this stuff.
Well, I lucked out. You know, I got up early in the morning, and I'm trying to find this, you know, the link, Justin TV.
Right, and I was having a hard time myself.
Yeah, and I was able to watch the GP2 race live on the web, which, you know, I really enjoyed it. And my thanks to all the listeners who put different, you know, feeds and links. So I'm zero when it comes to technological matters, so I'm very thankful for little help.
I was stunned because I turned on my television thinking that the race was on speed at 5 in the morning, And sure enough, it wasn't. It was Mr. Maguire in his show Car Crazy.
Well, that's a good show. But, you know, talking of speed, now they have come out with another program called Jacked. This is about cars stolen. I don't know where this network is going. And I have a suggestion for them to really tap into what they're trying to get into is, how about a one-hour show called the Roto-Rooter Report?
Keep up the good work, Nasser, for your suggestions to Speed TV.
Yeah. Yeah, the check is not in the mail, but down the drain.
Thank you.
Okay, now we go to GP2. How long have I been blowing the trumpet for Nico Hülkenberg?
You have been blowing this trumpet for a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm like the Herb Alpert of motorsports podcasting now. Anyway, this kid is on his way to F1 after a command performance in feature race on Saturday. Third win in a row. When was the last time you saw three wins in a row in GP2?
It's been a while.
Yeah. And so this German kid from Emmerich, which is close to the Dutch border, is going very good. Lucas de Grassi was second and Javier Villa third. And as mentioned by David Hobbs during the GP2 race telecast, I taped the GP2 race. If you want to come over and watch it, fine. David Hobbs is a funny guy. I really enjoy his humor and when he starts, you know, making impression of other people.
No, absolutely. All those F5000 guys are hilarious.
Yeah. And he mentioned that both Degrassi and Villa, Javier Villa that is, made their GP debut in the same race as Lewis Hamilton.
Wow.
So it's same old story. The cream comes to the top.
Huh. Well, they haven't risen yet, but they're doing okay.
Yeah, Javier Villa in over 3 years in the series, this was his first podium. And at one time, he was doing very good in junior formula. And I remember a couple of years I had mentioned that this kid, you know, might go places. But then, you know, people come to almost to the top of the mountain and then, I can't take the pressure.
Yeah, and when you're in GP2 for 3 years, I think there's some problems.
Oh, absolutely. Second year is, you know, question mark. Third year, forget it. Sunday's sprint race saw a maiden win for Dutch driver Guido Vandergaarde. Luca Filippi was second and Degrassi third. Romain Grosjean was fourth and Hülkenberg seventh. The Hulk is leading the championship with 57 points over Romain Grosjean on 45. And I want to tell you something. If Romain Grosjean stays in the series full-time, doesn't go into the Formula One, and he gets beaten, and no guarantee that that will happen, but if Hülkenberg beats him in the championship as a rookie, Flavio has got problems.
I agree. Yeah. And, well, I expect Grosjean to replace Nelsino in the next...
By the time the podcast is posted?
Correct.
Probably, and very rightly so. Nico Hülkenberg is sporting the same sponsors as the other client of his manager, Willy Weber, who happens to be Ralf Schumacher's older brother. And I think Mr. Rogers knows him from Suzuka 2006, because when your heart and engine are on fire, smoke gets in your eyes.
I'm telling you, that was a great season.
Oh, yeah.
Kablamo has happened for a reason.
There was a Monza Kablamo right before my eyes.
That was Fernando, and it's called Yin and Yang.
Absolutely. Okay, the other series at the Hungaroring in action was Formula Master. Czech driver Josef Kral was the winner in race one over Fabio Laimer of Switzerland and Alexander Rossi from Nevada City, California. He was third, and race two on Sunday was won by Russian driver Sergei Afanasyev. Formula BMW Europe, a weekend of Dane domination, as Michael Christensen wins both races from pole position and retakes the lead in the championship. This is going yin-yang between him and the rookie driver from Brazil, Luiz Felipe Nasser, who came in second in both races and now trails Christensen by 11 points. So this is getting very exciting. IRL, north of the border, up Edmonton Way. Will Power, third man for Team Penske, wins the race, and Marco wins the Rage of Franchitti. Dario Franchitti was kind of a wee bit pissed off at Marco and ready for holding him up.
Right. That,
these things happen. Castro Neves was second, and Dixon third, and Briscoe was four, so there were three Penske cars in the top four.
Yeah, I don't like this track.
You don't like the Edmonton? Why? What's your problem?
It's like big and wide.
It's an airport.
I know it's an airport.
I love airport tracks.
Nah, it gets on my nerves. And
you did not like the Cleveland track? That was one of the best Champ Car races.
I don't like airports, except for Sebring.
Charles de Gaulle Grand Prix.
That was, thank you, Nasser. No, Sebring is good, but the, even Cleveland, those wide turns.
Oh, I love those for high-speed turns. Yeah.
Well, good for you, Nasser. We
have to have some differences.
Yes, we'll agree to disagree.
Thank you. Okay, Indy Lights, another San Francisco treat for J.R. Hildebrand as the Northern California native wins his fourth race of the season. This kid, you know, did extremely well in Formula 4 in the U.S., won a lot of races. I think he won like 10 of the 12 races, and he's now really coming into his own element. And I think this is a name to watch for USF1 in a couple of years.
Yeah, no, he's really rised to the occasion, which is impressive. Yeah.
And maybe Michael Andretti regrets giving him the ride at Brands Hatch A1 GP. Mm. He made Marco look very bad.
No, he did. Yeah. And that was another moment of laughter for me.
Yeah. Formula Atlantic in the land of Lincoln, John Edwards from Cincinnati, Ohio, was the winner in race one from pole position over teammate Jonathan Summerton, and Edwards repeated the feat in race two. And John Edwards, Jonathan Summerton, and Hildebrand, these are all guys who, if given the right opportunity and some, you know, help and luck, they can make it to top level in Europe. And I would love to see all of them do something in Europe next year. And hopefully one of them will be picked up by USF1 for next season, but let's see how the, you know, what the tide brings in. Spa 24 Hours, big win for Chevrolet Corvette, driven by Mike Hazeman, Anthony Kumpen, Jos Manton, and Kurt Mollekens. Jacques Villeneuve crashed out in the rain involving several cars. Spa 24 Hours has to be a great race.
It's got to be a great race, but you know, these days Jacques Villeneuve, This is how most of his races end up. Well, I hate to say it, but
I don't know for a fact, but I don't think it was his fault. But you know, he should really be in something like a DTM or Australian V8, where he will do well. I don't think roundy round circle track NASCAR is his.
I agree with that, but I think he's still even pushing for NASCAR.
Well, he's a racing driver. He wants to do something. Who can blame him for that? Mm. Okay, British F3 Australian Daniel Ricciardo was the winner in race one, and Sunday's race two was won by Brazilian Adriano Buzzi, first for him in the series, and Ricciardo was second. MotoGP, Dovizioso does it at Donington. To borrow a line from Mark Knopfler, it was raining in the park, and Rossi got a shiver in the dark. The championship leader started from pole but finished fifth after falling while battling for the lead with fellow Italian Andrea Dovizioso. The 23-year-old Honda rider from Forlì went on to win his first MotoGP race. And I got to tell you something, a confession. If I come back in a second life, I would like to be a MotoGP fan because I'm really enjoying this. But right now I'm committed to Formula One for the rest of this life. But I'm very, very, very much enjoying MotoGP and the competition, Rossi, this and that. How about you, sir?
That's a nice confessional, Nasser.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm calling you Father Rogers from now on. Okay, Colin Edwards from Texas was second on a Yamaha, and Randy DiPugna, your homeboy, was third. And he used the S word in the press conference, so I think Sarkozy is going to give him an award or something.
Probably.
Yeah, and so DiPugna was third on a Honda. Jorge Lorenzo did not finish, helping his factory Yamaha teammate Rossi extend his lead in the championship. Ducati riders Casey Stoner and Nicky Hayden were 14th and 15th, respectively. And every time I talk about or think about or watch MotoGP, I have to think about Nick Harris. And there was on the forum some talk about who are the good announcers. I really like, I mean, you are at the top. I mean, nobody comes close.
Checks in the mail.
Contract renewal time is coming up, you know. But I like this guy who does the BBC podcast, David Croft. And there's another guy, and Nick Harris is next for me. I don't know if you ever heard him. He's very good and totally non-motorsports. The guy from NFL historical films.
Of course.
John Facenda, awesome. And then there's another guy in British television, I think Ben Edwards. He does the commentary for A1GP. Pretty impressive. Just my personal opinion.
But I'm glad I'm at the top, Nasser. That makes
me absolutely
feel warm and fuzzy.
And you got the yellow jersey on you right now.
Exactly.
I just won't say the name of the company because then people will know you're a Matt Kenseth fan. The truth comes out. And talking of Matt Kenseth, our next item on the agenda is NASCAR. Allstate 400 at the Brickyard. Monty is mad as his fate was not in good hands. The percolated Colombian led more than half the race but became a victim of speeding in the pit lane, which he denies. Jimmy Johnson won the race ahead of teammate Mark Martin. Monty did make history as he became the first driver to lead all major races at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. NASCAR, Formula One, and Indy cars, where he put on a dominating performance to win after leading 167 of 200 laps in his first appearance at what Tony George now calls... Thank you, Lady Madonna. Okay, in other news, Das Party is over. We already talked about BMW is having an announcement on Wednesday. They're going to probably pull the plug, which is very sad because we want more teams and more manufacturers, not less. Unpaid premium, Allstate is pulling the plug on their sponsorship of NASCAR race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Peugeot, you should go to Atlanta. Peugeot in Peachtree State. The Le Mans winning team will have two cars in this year's Petit Le Mans at Road Atlanta.
That would be a great race to go to.
You know, I don't know if I told you the other day, last podcast, that I've been blessed with three days of vacation.
Yes, you did mention that to me.
You know, I have lifelong family friends who live in Atlanta area, and one of my co-workers, she's originally from Polonia, she visits here regularly, and she was there, and she says to me, "Oh, you have to now come, because our house is in Braselton." I said, "Wow, that's where Road Atlanta is." He said, "Yeah, it's just like walking distance from where I live." So if stars align, I might go to this race.
I expect
some friends.
Full report now, sir.
And you will get some, sir. That should not be a problem. We'll see. Would you like to go to this? And this track is very, very nice.
It is very nice.
I rank this track almost as high as Road America in this country. Would you like to go there, sir?
Yeah, you buy, I'll fly.
Yeah, I'll buy you the in-flight burrito.
Yeah.
You got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, AT&T Williams team. After two top five finishes for Nico Rosberg in the last two races, Sam Michael, team's technical director, is hoping to reach out and touch the podium in remaining races. Last win for Williams team was scored by our man Monty in Brazil. Long time ago.
God, it's unbelievable how long ago it is.
Yeah, it was a very impressive win, by the way.
Yeah, and they were also complaining about the two-week shutdown. They say that it actually doesn't save any money, and that's the last time they're going
to
do it.
If they really want to save money, you know what they should do? Not go to all over the world, you know, especially where people are not even coming. Can you imagine how much money they will save if they don't go to, let's say, a flyaway race in Malaysia, as an example? So that's one of those things. A race of champions, Jenson Button has signed up to represent Her Majesty's Motorsports Honor in this year's Race of Champions, which I understand will take place in Beijing at the Bird's Nest Olympic Complex.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Do you remember when Jean Alesi represented France and he...
I think he went the wrong way.
No. He stopped just before the checkered flag, and he comes out and he's waving to his...
People.
French people, ooh la la.
And they're telling him, get back
get
in the
back,
car.
Boudreaux.
I do remember that.
That was classic.
The motivation just seemed to spilt out all over the track.
Yeah, very interesting.
Nasser, thank you for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Stay tuned for an interview with Jackie Eckelhart. And we'll be back after this 60-second break.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And real quick reminder to the listeners, make sure you go to Twitter and do a search for F1 Weekly. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's exciting. Each tweet is worth 1,000 words or 140 characters or something like that. So make sure you follow us on Twitter. There's always something happening. Okay, now we go right to the interview. Nass, we've got an interview with Mr. Jackie Eckelhart. Introduced as, I believe he's Belgian.
That is correct. You know, it's not a nice thing to butcher people's name, especially in front of them. So I asked him, how do you spell your last name? And he goes, it's just like Ecclestone, but with a heart.
You know? Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so Jackie Ecclehart. He is from Belgium. He's a racing engineer who was born in Antwerp, the diamond capital of the world. And he cut his teeth in Formula Ford and 3 as a driver. Then he got onto the engineering side. And he worked as an engineer for Dam's team, which, as you know, was started by René Arnoux. He was also involved in this program. So he was an engineer with them in Formula 3000. Then he ran the Peugeot team in French Touring Car Championship. In 1995, Peugeot Sport boss Jean-Pierre Jabouille, the man who won the Dijon race 1979, put him in charge of the F1 testing program. Ecclehart also worked for Prost Grand Prix team, and in 2001 was race engineer to a driver who was brief and precise with his feedback, Little Kimi at Sauber. This conversation took place at Le Mans last month, where he was in charge of Colin Collis' Audi R10. My thanks to him for his time and also for arranging the interview with his driver, Naren Karthikeyan. So, Jackie Ecclehart, thank you very much, and I hope the listeners enjoy this conversation.
Okay, folks, I'm here with Jackie Ecclehart from Belgium. And Jackie, first of all, very nice to meet you. I've been hearing your name for a long time. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, actually. We have done, until now, everything went to plan. So we had the cars, we kept the cars on the track, because for us a bit of a learning thing, because it's the first time 24 hours for Le Mans for the team, also for me, after 15 years of Formula 1, is some complete new experience, and it's also for the drivers a new experience, because none of them have seen Le Mans before. So we want to do as many laps as possible in free practice and qualifying, which we succeeded. I think we did about 1,000 kilometers in free practice and about 680 in qualifying, and no problems, no technical problems, and the drivers gained more and more confidence. Well, we qualified only 13-14, but that's okay. I mean, it's a 24-hour race. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You mentioned plan. You're with Collis Racing, running Audi. What is the plan against the official Audi team and the Peugeot team? Are you really here to ruin Peugeot's weekend?
No, not at all. Of course. I mean, if the opportunity presents itself, we will catch it. That is for sure. But basically, we run the Audi R10s, you know, with a concept that is 3 years old and has been modified slightly according to the new rules, which is less power and less downforce, which is not suiting our car particularly well. But anyway, so the R10 is obviously not as fast as the R15, not as fast as the Peugeots. But, I mean, it doesn't matter in that sense. You are not going for the outright win. But as it is the first 24 hours Le Mans for everybody, drivers, engineers, mechanics, team, I think is fair enough to try to do a good job, even if you have a car that is not on paper theoretical able to win. You can do a very good job, and now we see where we end up.
Working for Dr. Colin Collis, is a free dental service available?
Absolutely.
On the track, right?
On the track, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned Formula One, which is what I love and all our listeners love. Tell us how you got into Formula One and what brought you into motor racing.
What brought me into motor racing is a good question. Well, I started to be interested somewhere at the age of 12, not earlier even, when I saw a go-kart on a motor show in Brussels, basically, and I fell in love with that and broke my parents' balls during 2 years. Finally, when I was 10 years old, they bought me an old one, and I started to go one day in the month to a track, and I started to drive myself and to rebuild my engine and so on. So you get interested in driving, mechanics, driving fast, car balance, and then obviously, of course, later on, then I went to university and I studied for had an engineering degree in mechanical engineering, and I specialized in aerodynamics and composites, because all those things I thought could be very useful for Formula One. And then you end up at the end, I mean, I raced a bit as an engineer, as a young engineer, I raced a bit in Formula 4, in Formula 3, and then went to work for a Formula 3 team, Formula 3000 team, Formula 1 team. So.
Your country has one of the greatest all-time tracks, Spa-Francorchamps. Did you ever race there?
Yep. I drove in 82 the Formula 4 European Championship race in Spa. And it was a big race. The European Championship was only 3 races, and they took the best from all the national championships, from RAC in England, and then Benelux and French and German championship. So I think we were about like 36 cars allowed at the start. And I seem to remember, I was remembered actually last year by somebody with a friend, and he said, listen, you remember the race 82 in Spain, the wet here? Yeah? So you finished 8th, yeah? So in the last lap I finished 8th because I was in 9th position chasing the guy in front of me, and I overtook him in the last lap just before Blanchimont in the slipstream. And apparently this guy was Franz Tost, who is team principal of Toro Rosso. He knew it was me, I didn't know he was him.
Now, in that era, there was another guy racing in Formula Ford. Did you ever race against him? Name is Ayrton Senna da Silva.
Yeah, I know him, but I think he was 1 year ahead of me. I think he did already Formula 4 2000, I think, and I was in 1600.
Yeah, okay,
so we were the same weekends on the same track as later on in Formula 1, but racing in a different category.
What was your first Formula 1 team? And, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are young, going to engineering colleges. How does one get a job in Formula 1?
Well, I think there is no golden rule for that, you know. But for sure, if you sit at home, nobody will knock at your door and say, hey, I have a Formula 1 team, do you want to come to work for me? I made more a career as an engineer, like a driver, you know. I started working in small teams, Formula 3, and then you win races, and the bigger teams are interested in you, and then you win championships, and then the Formula 3000 teams say, hey, this guy is not bad, and the drivers say, this guy is not bad, and then you move up. But you have to be on the track, people have to know you, you have to work, you have to be serious. And the success comes with the work, and also being on the right time, right moment is a bit of a thing you cannot control. Eh? So probably a touch of luck also, I suppose. But in general, I mean, it's the same thing. If you don't want to miss the train, you have to be in the railway station. Yeah. If you're at home, you miss it. You know what I mean?
You don't go to Charles de Gaulle.
Exactly. So it's the same thing with with motor racing. Eh?
Okay. Please tell us some of the drivers you have worked with in Formula One.
Oh, I think Eddie Irvine, Rubens Barrichello, Martin Brundle, Ralf Schumacher, Giancarlo Fisichella, Jarno Trulli, Olivier Panis, even Hakkinen a bit, Frenzen, Villeneuve, Raikkonen, Massa, it's so many. I mean, one year I was walking on the grid and I counted and I had, from the grid of 22 drivers, I had worked with 14 of them. So,
talking of Raikkonen, did he ever say to you more than one sentence?
Yeah, absolutely. Kimi is not as people think he is, you know. Okay, he doesn't talk much during the work, but that is fine for me because I don't need people. You know, you have drivers who tell the story of their life each time after a 5-lap run. I don't need that. I need to know where, if I improve the car, he can gain lap time. That's all I need to know. You know, the car is never perfect, but when he says, there, I tried every line, I tried everything, the car is unbalanced. Made the car better, I gained 2 tenths. That's all I need to know. Then I look there, I work, and if you improve, you see, he will gain 2 tenths in that corner. That's what I need to know. But if you go out with Kimi in the evening, and you discuss karting or whatever, or girls or whatever, then he talks a lot. Eh?
Oh, really?
After a few drinks, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, you said something interesting. Some drivers tell you the live story after every 5 laps. So I have to ask you, how about dropping some names who were very good in feedback and who were like, high maintenance?
You want names of drivers?
Let's throw some dirt here.
I don't like to do that. No, but I mean, it's also the personality of the driver. Eh? But let's say people like, I'll give you an example. Nick Heidfeld is a very good development driver, but he gives you that much information that you really don't know where to look at, you know? Which is good when you say, I'm testing, I have time, I look at all the things he said, but if you're in a free practice session or a qualifying session and you have only 5 minutes between two runs, you know, too much information is also not good, you know what I mean? Nevertheless, he's a very good driver, of course.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, now, who are drivers who are very, give you exactly what you wanted and not, saying, once upon a time, I got into the car and I drove around?
Well, I think more in general, I've been very lucky to have worked for the last 20 years with very good drivers all the time, you know. So you cannot say this one is good or this one is bad. There are no bad drivers on that level. They're all very good, but they'll all be different. That's more a question of personality, you know.
Okay, you're, I think, the most qualified person I can meet who can answer this question. I heard a joke that in the pit lane in Formula One, when Michael and Ralph was racing, Ralph's nickname was Half Schumacher. How good is he in feedback and as a driver? Is he half, three quarters? We all know he's not full, Monty.
Yeah, well, he's not as committed as his brother. Let's say his basic speed can be very, very good. Because I worked with Ralph in his first test of Formula 1 at the end of 96, because I picked him up at the airport in Lisbon. He came back from Japan. He just won the Formula Nippon Championship. And then he did his first test with us in Estoril. And he was straight away on the pace, quick. And, okay, he's not the guy who also tells the story of his life, but he was precise in what he said and had a good feeling. And you felt he could be competitive straight away, which he was. But I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that after, let's say, the initial success he had with Jordan then, and then afterwards, because he won his first races with Jordan and then Williams and so, that maybe he lost a bit of motivation. That is my impression. And you know how it is in top sport, whatever it is, if it's football or tennis or whatever, apart from the skills and the training and you know, and the mental is very important. The motivation is like on the track is the last 2-3 tenths. And you know, you see in Formula One you have 20 cars in 2 seconds, so it's very important, the motivation. And I got the impression he has not this sharp, let's say, the sparkle in the eye is not there anymore. That's my impression.
Okay. Now, Eddie Irvine, did he have stories of other girls or his own story when it came to technical feedback?
Eddie was his type of driver who is, I didn't work a lot with him because when I worked with Jordan, actually he left at the end to Ferrari. But he's a type of driver who is very talented, gives you the impression he's not caring too much about, you know, things, enjoying life a lot. But he's more serious than you think, you know. He's working harder than you think and he does not give that impression. But he was actually, for me, a very professional driver, but let's say always telling what was on his mind. Eh? No diplomacy, so when the car is shit, it's shit, you know. But even Ali is a bit, I could compare with Jenson Button. Jenson also, his comment about the car balance is independent of the lap time. So Jenson can be doing a run, let's say 5 laps, he's coming in, he's only P15 in the ranking, but he said the car is well balanced. Or we can have the opposite, and he's doing the fastest lap time, but he said the car is undrivable, you know. So they are very honest about that. While some drivers, which I will not mention.
Oh, can I bribe you to drop a name or two?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Would be unfair because they're still active. Some drivers, you know, they first look at the lap time, and if a teammate is faster, they say the car is shit. And that's no good for us. No?
And it's even in Formula One you find this, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, I've read a few interviews from drivers who race for Eddie Jordan, yeah. And you were there. Is it true that every second word starts with F?
Every what?
Every second word with Eddie Jordan starts with the word F.
Wow. Well, I think he changed a bit over the years also.
But when you were there.
Yeah, but it's true. It's not the every second word, but it's a word that is actually programmed in his brain, I think, and drops out with a timer like each 5 seconds.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. How about a message for our listeners? We have listeners all over the world, including your country, Belgium.
Yeah. Well, I look at this race like an adventure. Less than a race, more like an adventure. And I think, like, in general in life, we all try to do the best job possible, and now we see where we end up.
Okay, great. Thank you very
much. We try to enjoy it.
Jackie, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now, let's go right to the wrap-up. I want to remind all the listeners to stay tuned to the special weekend edition. This weekend, we have podcast number 366, which will feature Henri Pescarolo, a fantastic interview, of course, with Nasser Hamid and Mr. Pescarolo, done in the paddock at the Le Mans race last month. So stay tuned for that. Real quick reminder, the 2009 Rotax Grand National online registration site is now live. Palm Springs, California, the official Rotax Grand National registration site is live, ready to accept competitor registrations. Registration is live at kartevents.com. The link to the registration site will soon be active on the rmaxchallenge.com website. So keep up the good work to them. I'm sure it's going to be exciting. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at marinkarting.com, or you can just give them a call, 415-898-0999. I want to mention our MySpace and Facebook sites. Search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program, from Nasser, David, and myself. Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.